Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others with the name of the game, and on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Y'all, today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Miss Irene Bryant, who is a holistic cancer coach. Now, y'all know I love to bring in people who are into their holistic health, but this takes us to a new level. Today, we're going to be talking to a holistic cancer coach, but that's not all. She's also an eternal life coach. We're going to find out what that means even more. So, Miss Irene, I want to thank you and welcome you to our space. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm great. I'm doing fine. Yeah, age 75 now and a survivor of 22 years from stage 4 cancer. So,
wow, that's awesome. So here you are 22 years later after a cancer diagnosis. But before we even jump into this, kind of walk us back. Tell us your story. Kind of talk with us about that story and what happened.
Okay, I'm just going to grab a quick drink. So in September 98, I had a bit of a sore throat that didn't go away and was diagnosed then with stage 4 throat cancer, where the tonsil had been, given a few months to live. I went home that night and I said to God, you're either going to heal me or take me home. Either way I win, whether I go to heaven or whether I'm healed here, I win. But what do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want. And everything inside of me just screamed out, no treatment.
So wait a minute. You're here. You have a sore throat. Many people don't think much of that. We always say, well, go gargle with some hot water, some salt water. But yet you had a sore throat that was not leaving.
Right.
And at this point, you go to the doctor. And from a sore throat, you were diagnosed with stage 4.
Well, a biopsy. They did a needle biopsy first on the lymph nodes.
Yes.
And that was stage 4. And then they did it on the tonsil, which was the premier location of the cancer. Yeah.
So you go from this sore throat to being diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. And you go home this night in a moment of complete surrender and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do. And God responds back to you, no treatment.
Yeah.
What? What?
I know. I'm just going to turn the light on, too. I'm just grateful that I had learned to listen to God. Because what if I didn't know how to hear his voice? I wouldn't have known what to do. But because I knew it was God speaking, I had the strength and the stamina to say, okay, I'm obedient to you. So my husband, was having a fit about it. And I said, well, I'll at least go to the clinic and see what they're doing. Well, it was horrible what they wanted to do to me. And a friend of mine, a pastor's wife, had an article about a man in Victoria, BC, or Vancouver, that did Chinese aposem therapy. And after the day at the hospital where they had made a plastic mask, bolted me to the table, and were measuring where they were going to first start out with this radical radiation, I had a pain across the back of my head of what I was on. The big machine was down here, it was cold. I was there for an hour while they were doing these measurements. I left there and I was just a basket case. I called them and I said, I'm not doing this until you send me to Vancouver. I'm at least going to check out that Chinese aposem therapy.
So this is such an experience because you're here bolted down to a table and being measured for this mask. And I know for me, I've had 2 cancer scares in my life. One in the time of COVID, which I would never wish on anyone because you can't go, you don't have any type of support with you. They wouldn't allow anyone that time during the hospital, but also one at the age of 21. And at this point, You're here, you're bolted down, and these people are saying, yeah, this is what we're going to start cutting. This is what we're going to start doing. And you're like, no. I found another option. And so you go and you connect with this young man in Vancouver for the treatment. How was that experience?
Well, he spent 4 hours with me explaining how the body works and it's all connected. He wanted to know what my situation was. And when I told him, he said, if you don't reduce the stress in your home, it will not matter what treatment you do. It won't work.
So let me roll the camera back a little bit, because, you know, at the beginning of this, you're telling me you have this very supportive husband and the doctor is saying to you, you have to reduce the stress. Do you mind giving us a little bit of the highlights of the stress that was going on in the home?
Well, he was very abusive to start with. Wow. My husband was mentally and emotionally abusive. And that, like I say, is one reason why I think I had throat cancer, because I didn't know how to stand up for myself. I didn't know how to set boundaries. And I was in ministry work, had finished Bible college, was helping plant a church, was preaching. What better way to shut me down than take away my voice and, my voice box and everything.
Now, that's really powerful what you just said. What a way to shut a person down, but to take their voice. And I believe in, you know, making sure our voices are heard loud and clear, because we're important. So just hearing you say that says so much. That really resonates with me, because again, I've always been the loud mouth, as everybody knows. But you know, it's a privilege to be that loud mouth and share your story, because guess what? While you're sitting there, somebody else is saying, if they can make it through it, they can tell me how to make it through it. So I'm all about being that voice for others. So at this point, your doctor is saying, you got to get this household thing situated. You're going through this verbal and, mental abuse. And then in the midst of this treatment, how did your treatment look? Well, I'm going to go back for a second before I even ask how your treatment look. Just the true visual of a different style of healthcare. You were in a hospital for an hour being told how they're going to cut on you and make this happen and all these types of surgeries and all the type of chemicals. And yet you went to a holistic practitioner who spent 4 hours with you. Talk about complete healthcare. Somebody who really is not just looking at you as a number, but as a person, the whole person, really.
Yeah. Well, and that's the basis of traditional Chinese medicine, is to treat the whole person and to treat them to be well, not just give them a bunch of, therapy and drugs, which are important sometimes, to treat symptoms, right? Yes. It's the whole person, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even, and physically. So that was so encouraging. So he then went down to Chinatown in Vancouver, bought me a big cooking pot and the herbs. I was at a hotel. He delivered them to the hotel. And I'm cooking these herbs in my room. Oh, my gosh. The smell was horrible. And it was going all the way down the hallway. I thought, oh, they're going to kick me out. This was a stage 4 or 5 hotel. And the next day, the Chinese lady came in, that was the house cleaner, and she said, oh, Chinese medicine, the best medicine, she said.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. You're here. You're actually, and what I love about it is, you said I was actually cooking the medicine. I truly believe, and I've experienced in my own life, that the most natural medicine is always the best medicine for you. And even over decades, I have not taken an actual over-the-counter med, because I believe in your herbs, your supplements. What were some of the changes you've had to make? So one, you came and you're cooking your medicine, but what were some other changes you had to make in this process?
Well, with my diet, of course, I quit eating meat, dairy, sugar. Sugar is huge. We eat way too much sugar. And they've even discovered it could even be cancer causing now. And what was the other thing? meat, wheat, dairy, yeah, and the sugar. And so I ate a lot of cancer-fighting vegetables.
What were some of those vegetables?
I eat them every day.
What were some of those vegetables? Because you're telling me right now you've given up pretty much the whole complete American diet. You gave up wheat. You gave up sugar. You gave up meat. I mean, and dairy. I mean,
you know what? When I was doing my training, when COVID hit, I was introduced to the training for the certified cancer coach. And one of the people on there said, if I had to look for a diet that promotes cancer, I wouldn't have to look any farther than the North American diet.
Wow.
Now there are substitutes. You know, there's gluten-free bread. There's I have 99% sprouted wheat bread. There's other ways that are very delicious, but we have to be willing and we have to want to feed our body what will give a terrain that promotes health and not illness.
So literally you went from an all-American diet that was literally feeding the illness, feeding the sickness, feeding the cancers, to a diet that literally was helping to fight the cancers.
Yeah.
What was some of your foods? You say you had a lot of cancer-fighting foods. What was some of the cancer-fighting foods you were taking or eating?
More alkaline-producing foods. So your greens, your spinach, your kale, and all the greens, broccoli, cauliflower. There's so many vegetables. And I have a chart that shows the highly acidic producing, moderate, not acidic, alkaline, moderate alkaline, low alkaline producing foods. And then the same for the acidic producing foods, low, moderate, and high. If you look at the high producing, all the meats, and all the condiments, those types of things are highly acidic producing. And a lot of that is in a lot of people's diets, even with children. And it's like, oh, help, help, Lord. So you don't eliminate, you know, when you're healthy and not fighting cancer, you still eat some of those. Some of our food is low and moderate acidic, but you want 80% of alkaline producing foods and only 20% of the acidic. And that will bring you to your proper weight, lots of energy, good sleep, and much healthier. Good immune system. It will give us a good immune system.
So literally, it's not even about, you know, and I've had another healthcare practitioner come on and say, you know, the doctor's responsible for your sick care. You are responsible for your health care and your well care. And literally here, you're telling me, as my grandmother used to tell me, is what you eat that makes the difference. And now you've been cancer-free for 22 years since then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
22 years. And here's what happened. It wasn't just the diet. That was part of it. It was the forgiveness, which we'll talk about it, you know, as well. I knew I had to forgive, because someone once said that holding on to bitterness and anger and resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Doesn't work. It just eats away at us. And forgiveness does not condone abusive behavior. It just frees us of the torment and the pain, and, you know, so that we can be the person God created us to be. I also learned how to look past my husband's behavior to see, Lord, how do you see him? And I remember one night being, you know, upset with him. This is before I had cancer, that I locked myself in the bathroom, had a bath. And as I'm sitting in the bathtub, just soaking, I'm crying out to God, complaining about this behavior. And here's what I heard. I don't like his behavior either, but I love him.
Wow. So you hit me with two power statements. You said that the forgiveness for you was a major part of your healing, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, that was a part of your healing for you, was that actually forgiving, but also seeing him as God saw him. Because so many times we're like, oh, they're just the worst. And that's not necessarily the case.
No. Well, here's the thing, you know, as it says in scripture, you know, God sent Jesus. The world was in so terrible shape, but God loved us so much. He sent Jesus to save us from all of that and reconcile us back to God. So our good behavior cannot earn God's love. He is love. He loves us regardless. And my bad behavior cannot stop his love. Wow. He's not always happy with our behavior, but his love is there waiting for us to say we're sorry, to find out about him, to receive from him and be restored. And then he will direct us. You know, when we do that and we accept Jesus, our spirit is renewed. We're one with him, but we still have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, mm-hmm. together with our body, working against the spirit because it wants its own way. We call it the flesh, right?
Yes.
So we need to choose.
In the midst of all of this, you found that it wasn't just a diet. It was learning how to forgive. And it sounds like it was really just not just the food, your faith. Let me correct myself. It was not just the food, your faith, learning to forgive, but also letting go.
Yeah. Letting go and really listening and just following the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't see me at the cancer clinic when I wouldn't do their treatment, of course. My other doctor saw me and, you know, took blood work every month. We lived in a different town away from Calgary. And it was growing. It was growing inside, and it was growing here. So 15 months later, like this was out about an inch and about 3 inches long on my neck, the growth. And then it was inside my tonsil, it was spreading across the base of my tongue. So 15 months after being diagnosed, I had a dream. I was in the bottom of a deep, dark pit with a huge snake coiled around me, trying to snuff out my life. I looked up, a flaming white sword came down and hacked up the snake. I crawled to the top, and there was a big cross there that said on words on it, "Let Jesus do it."
Wow.
Oh yeah, right, Lord, because he showed me that first night in Vancouver. I was having trouble going to sleep, and I was saying, what if, what if, what if? And all of a sudden, I heard God say, "I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you," over and over. And I had peace and went to sleep. And I was never fearful after that. So
what I love about that moment that you're talking about is because so many times we're all human and we have those moments of, well, what if, and we doubt and we go through. But you had a moment where in the midst of your doubt, you were still reassured. Yeah. What a beautiful place to be when God says, "I will reassure you in the midst of your doubt." You know, so many times we want this, "I'm holier than thou" type of thing. And I never doubt. Well, I'm gonna tell you, for me, I've had moments. And I think we all have. And I think we've been condemned for having those moments. But sometimes those moments are moments when you give him, when you give God personally, a chance to show up and show out and say, "I got you. I see you." And those are the moments I love. Because when you do that, he goes, "Okay, now let me lead this process. Let me walk you through. You just trust."
Yes.
And what an amazing thing this is. So 15 months after this, you're now having, you've gotten to the point. You've gone up and down the cancer treatment center, who at the beginning was all gung-ho to see you, no longer wants to see you because you don't want to do their treatment. You're going to your regular primary doctor who's doing your blood work and such. What was it like the day that the doctor said there was nothing there?
Okay. Let me back up a little bit. The doctor in Vancouver, I went to see him every month for 3 days at a time. It was amazing. I got away from everything at home, had 3 days, you know, in Vancouver. And the fourth month, he said to me, you know what? It's still growing. The herbs are working, but not as well as we need them to. You might still at least have to do radiation. Well, I couldn't. Everything inside of me, I just couldn't do it. So I went home and knew I wasn't going to go to Vancouver again. And that first night, oh yeah, I had a bit of fear that night I got back home. And in the middle of the night, I was sitting on the steps at the top of our stairs in this house, crying out to God and saying, like, I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do. And got to the point where I said, you know what, God, here I am. Just do what you want with me. You want me to die and go to heaven? I'm okay with that. You want me to heal? I'm okay with that. Just do what you want. And an incredible peace came over me that was totally supernatural.
So this is the second time that you've had this moment of surrender. And, you know, it's amazing. And what I love about your story as you're sharing with us is that, one, we all have moments of doubt. So that just made me feel a lot better. No, I wasn't alone. Two, but even in those moments surrendered, every time there was an exchange for that nervousness, that fearfulness to his peace, yeah. his goodness. And I think it's amazing. And then as you're talking about it, it's amazing to see how you went to this particular doctor to get away from the traditional treatment. And then he says, you know, this is not working. It's working, but not as fast as we want it to work.
Yeah.
And you made the decision, I'm not going back.
Well, yeah. So I'm at home now. It's 4 months of that treatment. And I just said, well, God, I'm just going to listen to you. And I just kept on doing the diet, prayer, forgiveness. And then it was 15 months after the first diagnosis. So I came back, I think in January from Vancouver. And then in November of that year, I had that dream where I was in the bottom of the deep pit and I saw the cross, let Jesus do it. So that the next morning towards the middle to the end of November, I said, okay, God, I'm stopping everything and I'm waiting on you. 2 weeks later, I was coming down the stairs at night. My husband was in bed, sleeping, and I heard the Lord say, do what your husband wants you to do. I said, what? I don't think he listens to you.
Oh, my gosh. Believer.
And I heard, trust me. I said, okay. So the next morning, I talked to him about it. And like I say, he had become more supportive by that time. And he said, it's your life. You need to do what you want. I said, well, can we at least pray about it? He actually allowed me to pray. And wow. I said, so
in the midst of all of this, the Lord's not only touching you, he's changing your husband.
Yes. So then I said to him, so what do you think? He said, it doesn't make sense, but I think we're to go back to the cancer clinic. I said, okay. Well, my doctor, where we lived, had to assure them at the cancer clinic that I would at least consider their treatment before they would even give me an appointment.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this is an interesting term because now you're being told basically if you don't follow through with the recommendations, we won't even set the appointment.
I know. So we went back. They wanted to cut out my tongue and voice box. And they didn't think they could get all the cancer. Because it had spread across and down. Uh-huh. I said, I'm in ministry work and a speaker. I'm not doing that. I'll either be healed or I'll go to heaven. Thank you very much. What's next?
I mean, talking about pretty much giving your all and somebody saying to you, oh, well, you just have to give up what we know you've been called to do. How does that work? Like, I don't believe that you're given a gift to have to give it all back in that way. And so at this point, you're now going back to this center. They're saying to you, they have to now cut out your voice box and part of your tongue.
Well, my whole tongue.
Oh, your whole tongue.
I would have some, well, they just said, we have to remove your tongue because it was right across the base of it. So how can they take that out? You know, there'd be no connection, right?
Exactly.
So your tongue, we have to remove. The first line of treatment is to take out your tongue and voice box. And we don't think we'll get all the cancer. Well, what's the point?
Exactly.
So anyway, I said, what's next? They said radical radiation. So much so that we might be able to slow it down a 30% chance. 30% chance of just slowing it down. Not good odds. But I had peace for the first time. So when I'm giving my speeches, you know, or talking to people, I say, if you are facing a major decision, where do you have peace? If you have peace, that's probably the way to go. If you have angst and it's not comfortable, then either it's not the right thing to do, or it isn't the right timing, or you need more information. God will give us peace when he's directing us. You know, he orders our steps, right? We can make our plans, but, you know, Holy Spirit directs our steps. So learning to really listen and recognize God's voice over the devil's voice and over our own voice is very important. So I knew that I had to go through the radiation. I said, Lord, you don't need radiation to heal me, but you're up to something. So I agreed. So in January of 2000, we started the radiation treatments. 35 treatments here, here, and here.
So we're talking about all the way around your full throat.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to grab it from this side. They wanted to get it from here, and they wanted to get it from here. And my mother had come out from another city to look after me. She was a retired nurse. And one day when I was in on the radiation table, she had a vision of Jesus standing at the head of the table with his arms outstretched and four angels in the room. Mm. She knew I was going to be okay. I didn't know that till after.
Wow.
So every day for 5 days, had the weekends off, friends would come and drive me to the cancer clinic, an hour drive, wait for the treatments, and drive me home. I was so blessed by people that helped me along the way. And you know, one thing I learned was just how much God loved me by the people and what they did for me during that whole experience. It's one of the chapters in my book, Receiving God's Love. So after 35 treatments, well, the last 3 weeks, I was so ill, I was in the hospital. In the hospital full time. And I had to sit up because so much mucus was forming. It was so painful. And when I was done, I was 98 pounds on 400 milligrams of morphine, which didn't cut the cancer.
Mm-mm, it does.
Blades. And I still had cancer. It was a tiny bit smaller. And that's all.
So wait a minute. After all of this, you still have the cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was totally exhausted. Oh, but you know what? God did miracles in that hospital. I don't know if I have time to even share some of them with you.
But go right on into them.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Okay. But one of them was this. When I was a financial planner, I had a client whom I had introduced to New Age concepts. Back then, I was in a New Age teaching for 7 years till God brought me out of it. And I had introduced her to that. Well, one of the days when I was still driving into the hospital, there she was on a bed in the hallway waiting to get her radiation treatment. I said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you for years. I really need to visit with you. She told me her room number. So the next day, I went early. I went up to her room, and she had been released that morning. I said, oh, Lord, I need to talk to her. I introduced her to the wrong kind of teaching. I need to tell her about you now. I didn't know how to get a hold of her or anything. So fast forward to when I was actually in the hospital, and I was in a room where there were two beds. You know, I was facing two other beds, and I was in a little alcove here. Well, one day they brought a woman in and put her in that bed. Guess who it was?
Oh my gosh.
That lady. That lady.
So you get to connect with this lady at one point before you met the Lord that you had introduced into this other lifestyle or other alternative behaviors or such. And now you get a chance to minister to her about Christ, about the Lord. Yeah. How was that?
Well, it was amazing. You know, we had prayer meetings. People came every day to visit me, and we had prayer meetings around my bed. And the next day after she arrived there, I went over and I said, I am so happy to see you again. And, you know, when you were my client and everything, I introduced you to New Age teaching. And now I know the Lord, I know Jesus, and I would so love to share that with you. She said, oh, no, she said, I'm okay. I'm okay where I'm at. I said, well, you know, okay. And I don't push things on people. But every day when we had the prayer meeting, we prayed for her and we prayed for the other lady in the room. The day before I was released, I was outside the room. We had a table there. I was reading my Bible. She came out and sat with me. And she said, you know, I think I'd like to know more about what you believe now. So I shared a bit more with her. I didn't know back then, pardon me, to ask people if they want to accept Jesus. I was still learning. But a month later, she called me where I was living. And she said, Irene, the cancer has come back. I need to know more about your faith. And that's when I shared so much with her. I believe that she accepted Christ at that point in time. Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's really a beautiful testimony of where you came from with this young lady, from teaching her New Age and bringing her now into the fold with Christ. And now being able to stand and say you've been healed. If there were any last words that you wanted to share with someone, what would those last words be?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say, if I had not done the radiation, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So God uses so much. That's why we have to be obedient no matter what, or no matter how painful it is. Okay, so what happened then? I was home, still had cancer. 6 weeks later, 300 women prayed for me at a women's conference. I left on the Friday. I went back on the Sunday, had more prayer, and left two blocks away. Everything inside of me, the Holy Spirit, said, go back. You're not complete. I went back. The pastor put her hand on my neck and said, Jesus is all she needs. And I thought, what kind of a prayer is that?
You wanted the long one, right? And she just came at you. You wanted the long, drawn-out prayer. And she's just like, here you go, boom.
But remember the cross after my Jesus? Let Jesus do it?
Yes.
Jesus is all she needs. A tremendous heat went through that whole area for about 5 minutes. 3 days later, back at the cancer clinic, the doctors were shocked. They said the very best we hoped for was to slow it down, and it is totally gone.
Oh my gosh. Gone. That is amazing.
Yeah, it was a miracle. The radiation didn't heal it. The prayer did. And God has used it ever since to encourage people. I wrote the book, Finding Hope in the Midst of Adversity. The first chapter is about the healing journey. And then the second one is Be Better, Not Bitter, about forgiveness, receiving God's love, the power of thought, the power of prayer. And the last chapter is My Dog, Megan. Oh, that's another whole story. That was so much fun. And God has really used it to bless a lot of people. The ebook is on Amazon. I printed 1,000. I've just got a few left of the soft cover, but I'm going to relaunch it on Amazon. Okay. You know, that's what I'm learning in Life on Fire, bestseller. And this new book I'm working on now, Eternal Life Choices. If you don't know you have a, if you don't know you have a choice, how can you choose?
I love
there
it.
You go.
We're going to definitely connect with you online and grab our copies off of Amazon. This has been, I don't know about y'all, but she has given me chills just to hear how wonderful God has come through and healed her in such a way. And I know in this journey, as we talked about this afternoon, that it was an up and down journey, but in the end, it was so beautiful that she was able to bring other people into the fold, stand here today and tell you out of her own mouth, with her own tongue, how he has changed and saved her life. What an amazing story. Wow. Oh, Miss Irene, you've given me chill bumps with this one. Oh, my God.
So can I just say that I offer people a half hour free complimentary session with me, just to talk, listen to them, to support them in whatever way I can, whether that's going through a challenge or fear of death or fear of anything, to get to peace and victory. And also then if they want more, that's when I do have a program that we can do one-on-one once a week or group coaching. Yeah.
That's awesome. Y'all take her up on this offer. When I tell you, this has just been an amazing experience. Just hearing this has done a lot for me, and I just pray it did a lot for you. Y'all, I want to thank y'all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others is the name of the game, and on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.